This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How will Friday's attempted mail bombings change the world of shipping?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The shipping and cargo industry is responding to new threats exposed by the mail bombs sent on Friday. The bombs were sent through London airports, and today the UK is convening a crisis panel to investigate the threat. Meanwhile, we ask, how will this whole episode change the business of air cargo? And Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us now live from London with some answers. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, Stephen, it's not like this is a brand new concept that someone could send a bomb through the mail. Has this event exposed some weakness in the security of the cargo business?
Yes. Air cargo, if it's scanned at all, is scanned by conventional X-ray, which is actually not very good at detecting very small amounts of explosives, as in this case. We're going to have to move to a system where cargo is scanned by the far more sophisticated equipment currently used to scan passengers' checked baggage. Now, two problems with this. That equipment is much more expensive to buy, and at the moment, it will only work on relatively small bits of cargo, like passengers' baggage. Here's Norman Shanks, a security consultant. Now, he was security chief at British Airports at the time of the Lockerbie bombing and subsequently helped develop this more sophisticated scanning device. But as he says, it has its limitations.
We're a long way away before we could screen full cargo containers. So we have to break them down into individual packages. Take time, it will be costly, but I think we have to introduce that for packages coming from known risks, whether they're either people or from particular countries.
So it's going to be more expensive, Stephen. Who's going to foot the bill for all this? Will it cost us more to send packages in the future?
Yeah, in the short term, yes. I mean, some countries accept their taxpayers should pick up the tab for this, but most say no, this is for the shipping companies and the airlines to pay, and they will surely pass on their additional costs. In the longer term, however, these extra costs could be fairly modest. If they crack the problem of getting these sophisticated scanners to work on whole containers of cargo, the system could be cheaper to run because it's automated and doesn't require so much staff to operate.
Very interesting. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
The futures market at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange is getting a little bigger today. And as Tony Arnold reports from Chicago Public Radio, today's changes give new meaning to making the most of a rainy day.
The Chicago Mercantile Exchange is known for selling agricultural commodities and futures, things like corn, wheat, and hogs. But starting today, there's a new game in town, rain. Anyone can now bet on a rainy day, literally. Tim Andreessen is with the Mercantile Exchange.
There's really no science or art in terms of long-term forecast. So, you know, that uncertainty is actually what makes an opportunity for products like this.
Andreessen says any business affected by weather, from farms to concert venues, could find rain futures beneficial. If that concert is rained out, the organization running the show could still make money. The Mercantile Exchange already sells futures for temperature, frost, snow, even hurricanes.
There's just about nothing that you can't make money from anymore if you really want to.
Gilbert Sabensti is a meteorologist at Northern Illinois University, but he doesn't plan to start buying rain futures. He says even weathermen can't predict the weather months in advance. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold for Marketplace.
And let's check global markets. European markets are up about 1% across the continent at this hour. In Asia, markets were mixed. And on Wall Street Friday, the Dow edged up just 4 points to close at 11,118.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud.
At this hour, some Halloween parties are probably still going on right here in L.A., but we are ready to make one conclusion about Halloween 2010. Americans spent substantially more on the holiday this year than they did last year. And as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, plenty of that cash went for economic and political costumes.
While most retail's been in the doldrums, Halloween bucked the trend this year, with sales up nearly 4%. And more costumes than ever went to grown-ups, says retail analyst Nicoletta Panteva at Ibis World.
Especially during a time when all we're worrying about is our finances and are we going to have a job tomorrow, it's just kind of a nice relief, even for the adults.
Americans spent more than $2 billion on costumes alone, and some of those played off the country's economic woes and upcoming midterm elections. On Halloween, the group Trick or Vote sent thousands of progressive activists door-to-door in costume. Noah Monger and Mariana Lindsay of Portland described their get-ups.
Throwing on some green jeans, a green turtleneck, and walking around with an iPad all night, and I'm going to go as Green Jobs.
So I'm going to be dressing up in Gap-branded clothing, get my cheerleading costume, mix that in, and go as the enthusiasm Gap.
There's certainly plenty of enthusiasm on the other side of the political spectrum. Rick Haven decked himself out as a revolutionary patriot for a Get Out the Vote event near Jacksonville, Florida this weekend.
The men's waistcoat, very ornate, very stylish.
Haven's an expert tailor and costume maker, as well as a local Tea Party official. He says he sold dozens of revolutionary outfits.
By the time you do the uniform and the shirt and the socks and the hat and the last guy wanted a cape, we're well over $1,000. So this isn't something cheap.
Talk about wearing your politics on your sleeve. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, this item from today's New York Post. A woman from Monroe, Michigan, who wrote to President Obama about her financial troubles a couple years ago, is selling the handwritten response that the president sent back to her. His note said, things will get better. Well, Jennifer Klein will sell the letter to an autograph dealer for $7,000. She says she needs the money to pay off medical bills and to make a down payment on a house. You can check out our podcast. It's the Midday Update podcast at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
In Canada, you can have up to a year for maternity leave. Your company pays you and it says they'll hold your job. But you know how it goes. Out of sight is out of mind.
Companies have had to make cutbacks, especially over the last few years, and it's easiest to get rid of the person who's not there.
Maternity leave makes middle-of-the-night feedings look pretty good. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The story next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.